You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies emergency podcast for the trade deadline. The Grizzlies make three separate trades today. Up until the last hour of the day, I thought it was going to be a very very quiet day. I was mentally preparing myself for things they were not going to do, but they end up making three separate trades. Depending on what you think about those trades, it could have been a good day or a bad day. Again, the Grizzlies send out four players: Garrett Temple, Jamichael Green, Marc Gasol, and Shelvin Mack. So we'll get through all that on this emergency podcast. We're going to go through each trade. We're going to talk about if the trade was good, bad, mediocre. But overall, just as a large prism, just kind of viewing it as a whole, I thought the trade deadline was a very much a meh. Like, it was just whatever. I don't think I look at that trade deadline to the Grizzlies, the trades the Grizzlies made, and I say, man, wow, that was pretty awesome. I don't think that in any way, shape, or form, you get that from the trades they make. In respect to the goals that I think they should have going long term. Now, if you follow this show, you know we've been talking about the goals for this trade deadline should have been take on bad money, get a young player, get assets. Those are the things that you wanted to do through this trade deadline. And I think they don't think they did largely any of that, to be quite honest. This seems like a trade that was more of a win now trade. This seems like a trade that was made for the short term rather than the long term. And I think that is inherently the problem that I have with the trades they made. While they got some decent players, I don't think that they are going to be here long term, and that's what you're looking for players and assets to rebuild this team. And that is largely the problem that I have with the trades. You didn't get stuff back that was going to be a rebuilding asset. So that's why I think it was just meh. It was whatever you can think about those players. And I don't think, as the stated goals that I think I've had for this team, as anyone has had for this team, I don't think you accomplished that in these trades. And that is at the core of the problem. The goals always, as we talked about, should be conveying that pick this year to Boston. But I think you can still do that while also getting rid of Marc Gasol for younger players and assets. I mean, the line between the eighth and ninth seed is very, very minimal at best. So I think you can still, I mean, it's like one or two wins we're talking about here and there, especially with teams like Atlanta, and that they're really trying to tank even harder. I mean, there are teams out there that are like Cleveland are just getting rid of everything, that are going down to the bottom. And so to get to that ninth spot, I don't think it's that big a deal or that difficult. You're talking about like a few more wins here and there before the end of the season. I think that's very, 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 very reasonable to ask. And I think you can do that while also getting the trades you want done for younger players and picks. So that being said, let's get into the trades. Let's start with the biggest one, obviously Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol is traded for DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, Jonas Valanciunas, and a second round pick. On the surface, I think that's probably not good. Like, the Grizzlies were able to acquire zero first rounders for the future today. That in itself is a problem. I think you'd at least try to get a first rounder instead of like a CJ Miles out of Toronto. I'd say Toronto very, very much won that trade. Now, Jonas Valanciunas is a good player. You're looking at a guy who's only 26. He has a player option this year, $15 million. I don't think it's likely he accepts that player option, but he's a good player. You're looking at a guy that's 12 points, eight rebounds. Shoots the ball reasonably well from the three, not great, but doesn't also take that many at all. He can, if he ever does, if he could develop that part of that game like Marc Gasol did, that would add a huge, huge game for him. He hasn't played much. He had a thumb injury that he was looking to come back from, so he should be back on the court for the Grizzlies soon. But I think he's a good player. You know, he is a young player. He's a young center in the NBA that I think is a good player, but the problem that I have with Valanciunas is I don't think he's going to be here after this season. He probably doesn't pick up that player option. The player option is $15 million. And you say, well, why wouldn't you just pick up the player option for a guaranteed $15 million? So it's because he's only 26 years old, and you can probably go out and get a four-year, $40 million from someone else. So you're looking at what, 10 years, or excuse me, $10 million for 4 years or $15 million right now? Players are always going to take players are always going to take the longer deals. If they know they can get a longer deal, guaranteed money, they're going to try and get that. Even if it's for a little bit less this year coming up, I think he could reasonably go out and get that type of deal from a team. And so I'd be surprised if he takes that player option, knowing that he could probably get something long-term, and hell, he might even be able to get something like a 3-year, $12 million from someone. Like, those are all types of deals I think Valanciunas can get. And so that's inherently the problem with Valanciunas is, yes, he's a good player, and yes, that's probably on the surface good value for Marc Gasol, but with the stated goals of building for the future, you can't say that's a win, because he's not going to be here. He won't be here next year. And so whatever you think about the cap space coming up, I mean, and we haven't even got into the fact that you may not even have any cap space. Cap space depends on a lot of things. It's not just when you have $25 million coming off the books that it comes off the books. That's not necessarily true. If you're already over the cap and you're $130 million over the cap and $25 million comes off the books, well, you're still $3 million or you're still $5 million over the cap. So what does it matter? Your money is not free to... Your money's not free to use unless you get under the actual salary cap. In the NBA, there's a salary cap and there's a luxury tax. Most people are over the salary tax. And once you're over the salary cap, you're able to use exceptions like the mid-level exception, the biannual exception, those type of mechanisms to sign players when you're already over the cap. Like Kyle Anderson was a mid-level exception signing. And that's usually how the Grizzlies have been operating the past few years. The last time they had cap space, they signed Chandler Parsons. So that's usually how they've operated. So just because you see a player and see that money and you think, oh, that's going to come off the books, that's not necessarily true. You have to have enough money to come off the books, get under the cap, and that's when you have free money to do whatever you want with. But you also lose the exception, stuff like the mid-level exception. Those are for people over the cap, under the luxury tax. So take that into consideration when you're thinking about, oh, we're just going to get cap space. That's not necessarily true. And you also have something to take into consideration like cap holds, which is a whole other kind of show in itself. Cap holds are something that weighs into a team's cap situation every single year. Like you don't just get access to that money right away. So I'm not going to go into the cap stuff that deep right now. But again, on the surface, yes, Jonas Valanciunas is a good player, but I'm not sure he's what you need long term. Now, if the Grizzlies were to re-sign him, like for 40 million or something like that, you know, that's not a terrible decision either. And just obviously depends on what you want. He's a 26-year-old going to be 27-year-old. So, you know, do you want to continue to have those type of guys on your team? I mean, you have to spend the money somehow. You have to have players. So that's something they'll probably take into consideration. But I'd likely expect Jonas to opt out of that contract. Next player they got in that trade is CJ Miles. Also has a player option for $8 million this year. So you have the $15 million from Jonas and $8 million from CJ both. Again, I'm not sure. I would likely think that CJ Miles would take that player option. He's a 31-year-old guard. He's not playing very many minutes, only playing 14 minutes a game. Hasn't played in quite a few games, only doing like five points a game. Not a great 3-point shooter. You know, just meh. Like, you know, he's just not a great player. What CJ Miles was a few years ago is definitely a different player than you're getting now. CJ Miles, while he can shoot the three ball, like he's almost a 38% shooter from three for his career, but that player I don't think exists anymore. He's just over 30% from three this year. Not getting a lot of minutes. Now this, it may change when you get him into the Grizzlies and he gets more minutes. I don't know. Again, CJ Miles is just whatever. You know, I don't think that he moves the needle at all for you. Again, a 31-year-old guard, who is not in the long-term plans for you. And, you know, I think he probably takes the player option. He's as $8 million pre-op player option. I'm not sure what, if that's guaranteed or not. I'll have to take look into that. But you know, he's a guy that may or may not be able to get that kind of money on the open market. Now, if he thinks he can get, you know, like a 3 year, $4 or $5 million a year, something like that. Well, again, what's guaranteed money over 3 years? He very well might take that, and the Grizzlies very well might just try to buy him out as well if he decides to opt in the player option. So again, even if he does, even if he's here next year and he plays, just it's a meh player. It's whatever. DeLon Wright is the only real player you get in this, and whatever you think about DeLon Wright, that's kind of what this deal hinges on. Is he's the youngest? He's also 26, just like Jonas Valanciunas. And he's still not like a young player, but I think DeLon Wright is the best player, and of all the players they obviously got today, DeLon Wright is the best player with the highest upside, and doesn't shoot the three ball great, but he can play. He's playing about 18 minutes a game, averaging 7 points, a little over 2 rebounds, a little over 2 assists a game. Is his fourth year in the NBA. He is on. His contract looks like this. Let me find it as soon as I have it. His contract is guaranteed for this year, but he's also expired. He's got a team option. He's on a team option right now for this year. So he'll also expire this year, but I believe he's a restricted free agent. So if you want to keep DeLon Wright, you're going to have to pay him, you know, but I think he's the most intriguing prospect here. I like DeLon Wright. I think he's a mediocre player. I think he's above average player, but I think he's got some upside there. So I actually like DeLon Wright in this situation. I like him going for the building for the future. I think he can play, and I'll be interested to see how he develops with this Grizzlies team getting more minutes than he was before. Again, I think it all depends on what you know. He's the type of player that you were going to get in this in any of these trades. Was a good-ish player that we've talked about that maybe hasn't had a shot or has been up and down or other franchises are out on, that type of player where you really can kind of see what you get. I don't think you were ever going to get a surefire, really good player from Marc Gasol, and that was never what I said. But being able to get just two players who are not going to factor into who are not factoring into any type of rebuilding situation next year, depending on what they do with Valanciunas. Again, I don't think they offer him any money. I think he opts out. And then you're basically getting DeLon Wright and a second rounder from Marc Gasol. So again, it's not terrible what you got from Toronto. It's not awful, but it's just meh. It doesn't really move the needle for you. And then in the other trades, they send out Garrett Temple and Jermichael Green, and they get Avery Bradley back. No picks, no nothing. This trade, straight up, terrible, awful, bad. Don't understand why they did it. As far as I know, I haven't seen anything to the contrary, me recording this podcast, that there's any type of picks involved there. There's nothing that really helps you with Avery Bradley. So all you did was... help the Clippers clear cap space by getting rid of Avery Bradley's contract, and they have now two expirings, and Jermichael Green and Garrett Temple, so they have even more money coming off their books, and you didn't get anything in return for and Avery Bradley, I don't think is that good of a player anymore. He's playing almost 30 minutes a game for the Clippers, 8 points. His defense has really, really slipped what he was. And, you know, Boston, like a really good hard-nosed defensive player. And his defense has really slipped lately. Not a great shooter. He has been in seasons where he's been able to shoot the ball, but he doesn't really take a lot of threes. I mean, he can maybe make them if he's wide open, but that's just not his game. And so, you know, it's almost like a replication of Kyle Anderson. I'm not going to say he's Kyle Anderson, but it's almost that same kind of thing where you have this hard-nosed defensive player, but his defense is kind of, you know, he's not even as good a defender as Kyle Anderson. His defense has kind of slipped. And, you know, it's actually, let me rephrase that. It's like a Justin Holiday, but Avery Bradley is not as good of a shooter as Justin Holiday. So like, I don't understand what you're doing here. Like, why? What are you doing with Avery Bradley? So not only do you give the Clippers cap space, you take on not a very good player anymore in Avery Bradley, like a below average player, and you give them actually the only good assets that you had besides Marc Gasol. Like, you gave them JaMychal Green and Garrett Temple, who, if you'd have split them up, you could have gotten better deals for them. And I think this all comes back to them not doing the Marc Gasol or Mike Conley deals earlier in the week. Like, do those deals, get them out of the way. That way you can focus on either flipping people or you can focus on getting those secondary deals done. If you were able to do this deal earlier in the week with Toronto, you could actually have flipped Valanciunas for more assets. You could have flipped DeLon Wright if you didn't think you were going to keep him for more assets. All these type of things you could have done. I mean, you've seen people like Wade Baldwin get traded like four times this week. I mean, these things happen all the time. Other franchises do it all the time, and the Grizzlies, for some reason, somehow can't figure out how to do it. I don't understand it. I don't understand what you're doing with the Clippers trade. That is a bad, bad trade. That's a bad trade. And if the only reason that makes it a good trade is if you get a first rounder out of the Clippers, or at least a second rounder, something, any asset besides Avery Bradley, who's not a very good asset, and you gave away two of the only valuable assets you had in JaMychal Green and Garrett Temple. When if you could have split those guys up and getting, and you could not convince me you can't split JaMychal Green and Garrett Temple up and get better assets for them than putting them together and getting Avery Bradley. Or hell, put JaMychal Green in the Utah deal if they're so hard up for not letting go of Exum. Put JaMychal Green in the Utah deal and boost that value and actually get a decent young player and a first round pick and Favors, who's good, and Rubio, who's also good. I don't understand why you can't do that. Or if you're Marc Gasol and you're talking to the Hornets and they're not sure what's going on, then put Garrett Temple in that deal. Boost that trade up a little bit more from your side of things instead of just saying, okay, it's Marc Gasol and nothing, give us your best offer. And that's a problem. Is either there's Marc Gasol and there's nothing else. There was no wavering on Marc Gasol or whatever else there was. I don't know the other reported deals, and I'm sure they'll come out, but man, this on the surface is a bad, bad deal. The last trade they made was Shelvin Mack for Tyler Dorsey, straight up, I think. That's a good trade. Shelvin Mack's terrible at basketball. Shelvin Mack's going to be weighed by the Hawks. Tyler Dorsey is a 22-year-old shooting guard in his team option year of the contract. He is got upside, and that's really all you can ask for. He's playing like 10 minutes a game, 3.3 points, but his per 36 numbers are really good. Per 36, I think he's a good player. Let me rephrase that. I think he's got good upside. And that's, again, that goes back to the DeLon Wright thing. That's what you're going to get with those type of trades. And for Shelvin Mack, I think that's great. I mean, you take a chance on a player who may not be great, but may be something, and he's 22. So you take a shot, and for Shelvin Mack, that's great. That's a good trade. So I think the trades are meh for Marc Gasol, very bad for Garrett Temple and JaMychal Green, and very good for Shelvin Mack. And beyond that, that's all the trades they did. Like, that's it. And they should have done so much more. They should have been so much more active. You still have Justin Holiday on this team. You still have Armin Caspi on this team. I don't understand what they're doing. There's just no vision for this team. And that's really what we've talked about on the show. That's really the problem. There's no vision here. There's nothing you can look to and say, this is what we're trying to do. Because none of these trades tell me or signal to me, all right, we are definitely starting a rebuild. We are going and selling everything, getting as much assets as we can. Just go look what the Cleveland Cavaliers did this week. I mean, they actually were able to turn that crap ass roster into assets, and the Grizzlies can't do. You mean to tell me the Grizzlies can't do that? You mean to tell me all these other front offices can do all these type of deals that are actually really good secondary deals and help them flip assets, but the Grizzlies can't? Like, those deals just don't exist for you? It's not true. And beyond that, they decide to keep Mike Conley. They think the value for them, what they're getting for him, is not good enough. They try to keep him to the summer. I don't know what you're going to get for the summer. You may get worse stuff. Like Ricky Rubio's and Derek Favors and a first-round pick, that's good value for Mike Conley. I know not everybody wants to hear that because we all love Mike Conley, but, like, that's good value for Mike Conley. I mean, I don't think it's crazy they're asking for Exum. I really don't. But on the face of it, that's good value for Mike. And Favors and Rubio are good players that you can flip for more assets. Again, if you do that deal on Monday or Tuesday of Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, you're still able to get other assets for the guys that you don't want. Maybe you don't want Favors, and that's the problem. Like, you don't really want Favors, but you have to, you know, so you want a young player in return. Well, okay, well, you don't have to take, you don't have, if they're balking at the young player of Exum, but you want them because you don't really like Rubio or Favors, and you feel like that's a bad deal, okay, then take the deal and move those guys to someone else. Take the deal and flip those guys for someone else. It's the classic, exactly what we talked about on this show. They overvalue their players, and they waited too long for someone to balk and up their offer, and they didn't. And so they got pennies on the dollar for Mark. Didn't really get a great deal for him. They decided to keep Mike, got nothing for him. And I'm not sure the deal exists in the summer for Mike. But it definitely doesn't exist for the Jazz. The Jazz main mechanism for trading for Mike Conley was Ricky Rubio's contract. And his contract expires in the summer. So that won't work in the summer. So that deal with Ricky Rubio and the Jazz is gone. It only worked right now. So that deal that you thought you were going to have right now is now gone because Ricky Rubio, his contract expires in the summer. And so they don't have any other large contracts to pair with Derek Favors to get Mike Conley. And that is the problem. That's the problem. Like, what other deals you were going to get for Mike in the summer? I don't know what it's going to be. And then what happens? I mean, if he gets hurt, I mean, you know, there's so many factors that go into it of waiting the summer. I get it. I'm not mad at keeping Mike. I said that yesterday. I get it. Like, I'm fine with that. You don't have to trade Mike. You never had to trade Mark because he's a good player. But these deals feel very much like a win now. They feel like very much win now deals. They feel like it is a front office trying to save their jobs, and they're trying to do deals to make them better this year right away. And I'm not sure that should have been the goal, but it feels like that was the goal. And I think the goal all along should have been trying to rebuild for the future. Unfortunately, that's not what they did. Anyway, this has been a way too long emergency podcast. We'll get into it a little bit more on tomorrow's show, the Friday morning episode of Locked On Grizzlies. Again, make sure you guys follow me on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. The show on Twitter, make sure you follow me on Twitter at King_producer. Make sure you subscribe in iTunes. Get all those automatic downloads. If you have time, please go rate and review the podcast in iTunes. It really helps us in the iTunes rankings. If you're not on iTunes, you can get the podcast on Stitcher. Wherever you get your podcast, it's out on every platform. Or just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.